Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk.
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
And this is Rick Swan.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
I'm Rocky Cesar Romero.
David Starr.
Support WrestleTalk.
You are watching WrestleTalk.
Congratulations, you got here. Now, subscribe
and support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk and please subscribe now.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it.
Support Ollie. Support me. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Because we talk about wrestling, and I like it.
Support WrestleTalk.
Go subscribe.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is, and whoever Luke Owen is, support the Ravens. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. Go live.
Hello, and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis, and for the first time in 3 weeks, I am joined, fresh from Japan, it's Luke Owen!
Hello, SWAF Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you? Although, it's actually 2 weeks. I've only been gone for 2 weeks.
Oh, it felt like three.
No, I've been gone for a fortnight that I was away for, so I've missed quite a bit of wrestling. I've missed a lot of wrestling.
There were parts like... I would, you know, because a lot has gone down.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, big stuff, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would go down, and I'd, you know, make the video and write the script and then do a podcast about it. And then I'd think, how the hell am I going to explain this to Luke? Like, just the, like, all the Saudi Arabia stuff.
Yeah. And, like, because this has been one of the few holidays where I actually have been... actively keeping up on things because I have had some time alone. I've been in my hotel room while we've been getting ready to go out or before we're going out for the evening. And particularly while I was in Hong Kong as well and we were just sort of relaxing by the pool. So I have been actually able to not watch every video, but I have been able to listen to podcasts and I particularly kept up on all of the Saudi Arabia stuff.
Yeah.
Because I found that to be like quite the story. And then Seth Rollins making himself look even less cool than he already was.
Rah-rah.
His rah-rah speech. And then, like, targeting Dave Meltzer and things like that. I found the whole thing very, very interesting.
With all that said, though, do you know what the thing I was like... I don't think Luke... I think Luke's genuinely missed out here because he's never going to be able to realise what's happened. And that is, for 2 weeks, Sin Cara... had a random lady luchador partner.
Yeah, so that, for my money, more or less may have well never happened. Like, it was mentioned briefly on today's episode of Raw, and that was it. And now he's going.
Yeah, it happened the Monday after you left, and then she turned up and had a full match the week after, and now she's disappeared. I feel like a guy who's like, no, it honestly did happen. And you're like, well, where is she? I'm like, I don't know. You just got to take my word for it.
There's no evidence of her being here. But yeah, no, it was, how have things been
in
this place?
It's been, you know, fine. I want to hear about Japan.
Oh, man. An amazing...
Daisuke Des?
Oh, sorry, you're doing a bit,
bit of Japanese. That is, I love it.
Oh, well, I did love it. Can I tell you one of my favorite stories from this place, though?
Sorry, we're out of time.
So let me actually just quickly find the correct name for it, because I only know the sort of colloquial name.
Oh, Bukkake. Is that what you're looking for?
If you just sort of fill for time for a second.
Well, I might as well have been in Japan, because I devoured all four episodes of Queer Eye in Japan.
Oh, we didn't actually watch it.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
it's weird, because the first 15 minutes of the first episode, you're like, they've made an error. because there is a language barrier here, and all those lovely emotional connections that usually happen are going through a translator back to them. But Netflix do a brilliant job cutting all of that admin out. Mm-hmm. But I felt in those first 15 minutes, it was hindering the connections. But then it just clicked into place and it was awesome.
It just works. They make it work.
Jonathan has released a book that my lady partner has already listened to.
Yeah.
He has lived a life.
Yeah.
He's been addicted to meth.
Whoa.
He's been in and out of drug rehab. He was a male prostitute.
No way.
Everything. And he's come out the other side of it as this wonderful human being.
An incredible human being, yeah. He is.
Yeah. Just, I can't wait to listen to it. Oh. He narrates it all as well. My lady partner said, it was too much for an hour. But then, just like the, it just clicks. Yeah. It's okay. But yeah, you talk about Japan.
So, Omaide Yokucho, which is colloquially known as Piss Alley, is in Shinjuku, which has already got like the Golden Guy Alley, which is like, or the Golden Guy Alleys, which are basically just very small pubs and sort of bars, or essentially just like the bar itself. And you can get six people in there, maybe, wow, sort of per bar. And walking down Golden Guy is very interesting because a lot, some of them are like members only. Some of them specifically say like no tourists. Or like, you know, Japanese only or something along those lines. Other them are like tourist friendly, happy hours, this, that, and the other. And we did go into a Golden Guy bar, and it was so, so cool. It was absolutely amazing because you ended up just chatting to the, you know, the person behind the bar while my wife drank some lovely plum sake.
Love sake.
I had some sake while I was in Kyoto. We went to this ramen restaurant, which I highly recommend as well if you ever go, which is a fantastic bowl of ramen. But it's, I can get on with sake. I found like it was drinking like spirits neat. That's what it really, it doesn't taste like drinking wine, which is what they say it is. It tastes like drinking gin neat.
It's an interim thing, isn't it? Because it is, I think it's like 18% usually alcohol concentration. Wine's around 12, 13.
Yeah.
So it is a bit closer to a spirit than a
it's
wine.
It's got a burn to it.
Yeah, I like it. Did you have it warm or cold?
Cold. Because in this ramen place, if you got sake with them, you got to keep the glass.
Oh,
so
nice.
We got two really cool glasses.
Oh, you didn't drink it out the little wooden square?
No, we didn't. I didn't do that, unfortunately. But anyway, so we're in this in this other one, which is colloquially known as Piss Alley, which is like it's also in Shinjuku and by the bridge. And we were all going down there, and it's more food based. So there's a lot of people just doing like street meat and street veg and things like that.
I don't like that this is called Piss Alley, and you're talking about food prep.
But you can get like drinks and stuff as well.
Okay.
And so it's all like open fronted. So you just walk up and just plonk a seat. You can get around six, eight people per place to go there. So we sat down and we were having some veggies with there. They were grilling some like peppers and mushrooms and corn and this amazing, amazing like platter of meal, platter of food. They would just cook it and then just hand it to you and you get a beer. And then at the end of it, you'd be like, I'm done. And then we're like, da 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 da, however much it is, and you pay them. While I'm there, I'm using chopsticks because I'm cultured, you see. And I'm using this chopsticks and I'm eating it. And we're sat next to this old Japanese man. And he's, you know, in sort of like not traditional Japanese garb, but he has got sort of like the jacket thing. I'm not gonna say, you know, the jacket, you know, whatever.
You know, the Japanese jacket.
Exactly.
Everyone knows.
What I'm talking about. I learned a lot while I was there.
The traditional 16th century jacket.
Jacket. Yeah, absolutely. Like the one I've got with all my badges on it. Anyway, so we're just sat there, we're just sort of like, you know, chatting away to ourselves. Also, the Japanese man sort of taps me on the shoulder and apologizes for his English not being very good, but wanted to know where I learned how to use chopsticks. And he said, you're really good. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh my God, I am being complimented on my chopstick use by this very old Japanese man.
By the wisest man in the universe.
Exactly. And he's complimenting me on my use of chopsticks. And so instantly, like, my spirits were already up. And so I sort of said, you know, I tried to explain, like, in Chinese restaurants in England, you get given chopsticks. So I sort of just sort of learned. I essentially said I was self-taught, which is effectively.
And natural. You should have said, you know how Paul McCartney plays the guitar? That's me and chopsticks.
And then he starts showing me how to like hold chopsticks and sort of how to pick them up and this and the other. And it was only when he was showing me this that I realized he was telling me off because I wasn't respecting chopsticks.
What?
Because because he said the way you pick them up, you're flippant. Essentially, is what he was saying in so many words. He was like, he's got some incredible skills because he would pick them up the way that I would and be like, bada, 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 and he thought it was quite funny. But at the same time, he was like, you do need to respect the chopsticks. You need to hold them up like this. And then later, we just started chatting to each other about where he was from. He was from Tytone. We talked about his trips to London in the 80s. And he was trying to think of a word, an English word. And during like his introduction to me of how to pick them up, he said it's manners. And he said, you know, this, you pick them up right, like this because it's manners. And while he was trying to work out what to say, he picked up his phone, he got his phone out of his traditional jacket, and he brought up Google Translate. And the first thing on there was manner. So clearly, while I was sat next to him, he had been working out how to tell me that I was not being respectful and I had bad manners with my chopsticks. And so he had Googled how to say manners to then tell me off. But anyway, the word he was looking for when he was describing London was elegant.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. He went in the 80s, so it changed.
Things have changed.
That's what an interesting clash of politeness.
Mm.
You being very polite, him being very polite. You thinking you were the bee's knees with chopsticks.
And it turns out I was being incredibly disrespectful.
You were committing cultural appropriation in front of this poor man's eyes.
On his birthday as well.
Was it his birthday?
It was his 60th birthday, we later
That's
discovered.
That's a big one.
Yeah, it was his 60th birthday because he couldn't quite articulate himself, so he had to write it down as he was saying it. He wrote down, 60 years ago, I was born.
Do you think how personally affronted he must have been?
He was...
To tell you
But that's
what
I mean.
Things.
But he was so polite about the whole thing that it never felt like that's why it took me, you know, a little while to realize that he was telling me off. Because for starters, he said I was really good. Like, that's how he started this conversation, by telling me that I'm excellent at chopsticks.
Ah, my English is a bit bad. I meant, you're really awful.
But we had a really nice conversation. He was so funny. He told us a fascinating story about the beer that they've got there. Its name escapes me now, but they've got
it's a tea.
No, and it's got a dragon as its logo.
Yeah, I know the one.
It's not Asahi, but it's got a dragon as its logo. And he told us that when it was first brewed hundreds of years ago, the actual word itself is Japanese for giraffe. But at that point in time, Japan had never seen a giraffe.
Mm.
So they drew what they thought a giraffe looked like. And that's the dragon logo that's on this beer.
What a friendly man.
Oh my God, he was so awesome. We kept referring to him as our new best friend. And eventually he had to go and leave us. But it was such a fascinating experience. And that was like my overall takeaway from Japan, is that it is the politest place I've ever been to in my life. It's like, you're not supposed to eat in the streets. If you buy yourself for like a little snack, or if you buy yourself a bottle of water to drink, the polite thing to do is to go off to the side and find a bench to sit down on and eat and drink your thing and then carry on.
Wow.
So that it's so clean. There's no litter anywhere. It's so lovely.
So why is it called Piss Alley then?
I don't
makes
really...
me think urine's running down all the cracks.
No, it's a beautiful, beautiful country. And I think we might have to get into the main show, otherwise we're not going to have an outro.
It's going to be a short outro.
Yeah, but it might have to be a short outro because we have to go live very soon. But anyway, here is the Raw review itself, talking about Walter and his NXT, his WWE debut, which I'm sure went swimmingly. Here's the show.
Seth Rollins was involved in another bad segment, unfortunately.
So I've been away for a couple of weeks. A lot has changed. Fiend is the Universal Champion. NXT is invading because of Triple H.
They haven't really explained why, but it's a thing.
That was going to be my question. Is there a storyline reason why Matt Riddle and Keith Lee are teaming with the Undisputed Era?
No. Well, I think the main reason is... We are NXT.
I see.
And you're like, oh yeah, but why are they? We are NXT. okay, cool, man, whatever.
Yeah. But because they're in
it was very exciting, though, when it happened.
Dude, like, I mean, maybe they should get stuck in Saudi Arabia more often. Like, yeah. maybe that was the lesson that we all took away from this whole ordeal. Scary, though, it was. But so Seth Rollins had a conversation with Triple H last week where Triple H said, you should join NXT. But on that same episode, turned his back on him.
Kind of, yeah, it wasn't the best told story, but I think there is potential there. And very much on this show as well, all the NXT invasion stuff on Raw is definitely tied to Seth Rollins. When Seth Rollins came out, they did the full NXT invasion of the main roster video package, and then they went into his promo bit. So yeah. It's like WWE see this NXT invasion, which in my opinion should be its own thing. It shouldn't be linked to the relationship of Triple H and Seth Rollins. That's something you do down the line.
Yeah.
But
oh, hopefully another WrestleMania match.
Exactly. But for now, it seems like that NXT invasion is here. Seth Rollins, Triple H is here.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Triple H, and it is quite an interesting character arc in that Triple H said, look, you've lost the Universal Championship. Your career's not as hot as it was.
Brock's now the top champion on this, which is you spend the entirety of this year trying to stop.
So maybe the
you're
answer
such a loser.
Is, you're not cool, sir. Maybe the answer isn't, the answer to your future lies in your past. Rejoin me, son, to be part of NXT.
Together we can rule the universe.
And that's quite, I actually quite like that storyline.
Yeah.
But Seth has obviously sided with Raw. He's on the team Raw.
He's Monday Night Rollins.
Monday Night Rollins. But I think this is probably going to set up him turning on Raw and siding with NXT.
Wow.
That's just the feeling I've got. If they don't, I think Seth Rollins is going to get increasingly more Romanized.
Yeah, because I believe this was taped last Friday.
Yes.
In Manchester. And I believe that he was massively booed in the live show. Because I wrote in my notes, this is a mixed response to Seth. Mm. But at the top of the show, I could already tell that this had been a sweetened crowd. Particularly when the Kabuki Warriors came out and the crowd booed. I'm like, Manchester's not booing Asuka. Come on
exactly.
Now.
Exactly. Well, let's go through this segment and we'll get to that. So Seth comes out. They do the NXT video replay package. And then he cuts a promo. And the live reports that I've read say that he gets a mixed response, but then it seems to throw him off his game and he loses himself for a few seconds. He says, I wish we had some of that energy. And then you can't hear him, apparently, because people were booing so loud.
And he even said, like, you can hear, like, in this, he says, like, oh, you need to bring that energy with you. But it felt like there was no energy. It felt like there was a real mixed response. There was a lot of crowd sweetening going on. JB, who's is a supercar player and 2K20 streamer, he was there at the event. And the whole Singh Brothers stuff wasn't played to the live audience.
But, oh, with Rowan? Oh.
Yeah, with Rowan. But you can hear a crowd reacting to it. So it's actually canned laughter and canned reactions.
Well, after the Rollins stuff, he effectively said, I'm a fighting non-champion, I guess. He sort of recaps everything. It's a classically boring Seth Rollins promo. I don't know why they keep giving him this material where it's, I'm going to tell you everything that's happened, even though you all know what's happened. It's like he is the recap package himself.
Yeah.
When you could just do that more succinctly and entertainingly in a 2-minute video package, which they had already done. So he does one of these boring promos. And
got to say, Cole versus Bryan looked amazing, by the way.
Yes. And then he says, I want to fight the United Kingdom's best. Issues an open challenge.
Now comes an Austrian.
And then out comes Walter.
And Imperium. And I was like, it was mad seeing Walter in a WWE environment and then step into a Raw ring.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a really weird visual, but I'm into it. And it was funny because Randy, one of the first messages I got back when I landed on Friday was from Randy in our WrestleTalk group chat, who texted us to say they're doing Walter versus Seth Rollins at Raw. And the first thing I tweeted back to him was like, that's got non-finished written all over it.
Well, all Seth Rollins' matches are non-finish here at the moment.
And it was really crazy. And then Walter cut this fabulous promo.
What?
I thought Walter's promo was so good. And it was so succinct. And it was just, it established who he is. And
seriously?
Another way he said, like, your feet are dirtying that mat. I really liked his promo. Man. I really enjoyed it.
That Imperium come out and Walter gets on the mic, starts walking down to the ring, and he cuts a promo. And you enjoyed it.
I did.
Great. Every step he took, every word he said, I just kept on thinking, why the hell are you talking? Why can't you just walk down? I don't think he should be cutting a promo. It's not his strong suit.
No, I appreciate that. But I thought he actually did. I thought he cut a really good promo and I really liked it.
Okay.
I thought the promo was needed to get across what the point of the group is. And of the four of them there, he's probably the best talker. Marcel Bartel's a very good talker, actually. Mm. But it just makes sense that the Ring General is the one to do the talking.
I don't know. If that's what you're going to do, so they also beat up Heavy Machinery on SmackDown.
Okay.
That's another thing that they did. But I think like some sort of video package, do it in advance. I know I'm asking a lot of WWE.
Well,
but
you had to save that for Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster.
That was a really good video package.
Shame the match didn't.
Shame
nothing.
They just got squashed. But that...
It's probably because they didn't fly Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins over for the tour. They were like, well, the Raiders have got to kill someone.
They're here already.
Yeah.
So Walter comes down and he has a match with Seth Rollins. And initially I'm like, yes, this open challenge. Come on, let's give this 10, 15, maybe even 20 minutes. By God, those two guys can go.
Yeah. Huh?
And then you do a DQ finish. Right? I know it's always going to be problematic, but... You don't want to beat Seth. You don't want to beat Volta. But they didn't do... I mean, it's very difficult to get... Ideally, maybe, you put another one of Imperium in there. And
yeah.
You save that Volta.
But they're only
match.
Here for this one tour, so you've got to do Rollins-Walta now.
I know. So they have a match. It goes about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Walter did this release German suplex. When he sat down on that single leg Boston Crab, he was just sitting, squashing Seth like a pancake.
He's genuinely one of the best wrestlers on the entire planet.
Oh,
Walter
is incredible.
He's so good. But I was getting really wound up watching this match because can someone fill Jerry the King Lawler in ahead of time? Who the people are going to be on this show. Because him, they're like, who is this guy? He's big. I've been very impressed with the first time I've ever seen him. It makes your product sound crap when your color commentator doesn't watch the product.
Yeah.
He's got no time to watch any of this. So he's like, I've no idea who any of these people are. It makes the product seem really pants.
Yeah, to fight WWE's corner there, they might be thinking, well, we need someone to play the fool here, to ask the questions, for those audience members that don't know who Walter is either.
Maybe.
I agree with you, though. I think that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, it's not.
I think both guys... You don't get that in football, do you?
No.
Where a new guy is subbed in and like, God, who's this guy?
Who are Cardiff?
Yeah.
Tell me all about this team.
So Walter, they Seth Rollins starts to make a comeback. He flips out of the German, which was... You know, it was exciting. But then he's starting to tune up the band for the stomp. And I'm like, it's 3 minutes in. You could... The answer is to get both guys. The way you get Rollins over again, how I would do it, is keep putting them in long matches.
Yeah, completely.
Like that. I think they really struck something when they had him go against Humberto Carrillo. And that was only a 10-minute match, but Seth looked good because he was making someone else look good.
Yeah,
and he won, and no one felt buried. This is the incorrect version of doing that, where he just. I felt like Rollins was about to beat Walter.
Yeah, I thought
with
the same thing, yeah.
And then Imperium ran in.
Which doesn't feel like it's not in character for Imperium to rush the ring and
they
and
respect
start being...
the rules. That's the whole point, yeah.
Yeah, so it just felt really... It made them feel like any other random heel faction. They just get in to beat him up and then you have your baby faces come down, Street Profits come down, Kevin Owens. Actually, when Kevin Owens came down, my first thought was, God, I've missed Kevin Owens.
He got one of the biggest pops of the night.
Yeah, because for my money, granted, I've not been here for a couple of weeks, but I felt like I haven't seen Kevin Owens since he beat Shane McMahon on the first episode of SmackDown.
Yeah, because he might have got some momentum. So yeah. Whoa. That.
Yeah, that whole feud was to put over Shane McMahon on the way out.
Yeah. So yeah, this random assortment of baby faces, which, you know, I do, I have said that in the past, that all the heels always help each other. It'd be nice to see baby faces doing the same. But then you've got this random assortment of baby faces. It starts up an 8-man tag. Imperium are just like this, they're meant to be this unit who work perfectly together. And you've got Walter there.
Mm-hmm. The United Kingdom champion.
Exactly. And it was fun. I did enjoy the match, especially I thought Kevin Owens' hot tag.
Oh, it was amazing.
Cannonball, super kick. Really exciting.
Montez's Ford's big dive to the outside where he landed in Jerry Lawler's lap.
Yeah, that was a dive on the table, yeah. Not on Walter. And I mean, how do you miss Walter?
His Tyrannosaur dropkick, by the way, was just... And actually, credit to Seth Rollins for the sell of it, because Rollins proper threw himself back into the turnbuckle to really, like... I mean, granted, a lot of that impact comes from Walter's massive size.
Yeah.
But I thought Seth Rollins also sold it like an absolute champ.
But at the end of it, after everything broke down, Seth Rollins hit the stomp on Wolf for the win.
I've written here, shame.
Yeah.
Real shame.
It's just that there are plenty of ways to have given Imperium the win. And it's just quite a baffling business move for me because NXT UK is struggling. From a live events perspective, we always read reports about how the arenas look half empty. There's hardly anyone going to the shows. So you're now in the UK itself. These are the very people you want to market these guys to because they're in the geographical location to buy those tickets. And you beat these people and make them look just a little bit naff. Maybe not naff, but just flattened out.
Well, none of these lads are Mansoor. And this isn't Saudi Arabia.
Why isn't the Queen paying for shows? I mean, Austrian.
Maybe that's the key to it.
And the same thing happened with Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster, the only other NXT UK guys on there.
Utter chumps. But it also, because they kept putting over that this is NXT UK are helping NXT in this war... even though I feel like there's only a one-week deal, it made NXT look rubbish.
Yes.
Because Raw just flat-out won this evening. They were like, it never felt like NXT ever posed a threat to these lads.
And
you got Kevin Owens and Street Profits there, and they're putting over, like, they're standing alongside Seth Rollins because they bleed Raw, and they are proud to represent Team Red, even though they've only been on this show for 3 weeks at this point. But they're all so passionate about being on Raw, and none of them are part of Team Raw at Survivor Series.
Mm. Yeah, it's weird. And the Street Profits, I think, really, they really do feel like a Raw act. So does Seth Rollins. Kevin Owens doesn't. Mm. But I NXT UK, I get that WWE framed it as like, this is NXT UK, it's different. But I don't think the casual viewers are going to recognise that.
No, I think they just see it as all as NXT.
And after a really positive start, I mean, honestly, that SmackDown NXT invasion after Saudi Arabia was one of the best wrestling episodes easily of this year.
All last minute as well.
A couple of
years. Great that it's all that was all just a last minute deal. It makes it even better.
The NXT wrestlers arrived 5 minutes before the show started.
Yeah, Shayna Baszler's interview about that is amazing, where it's just like, yeah, I didn't have any shows booked.
Yeah.
So I was actually looking forward to a few days off.
And week after week, episode after episode, it's become more like a usual WWE invasion, where the main roster stars win. And it's not really about these other promotions. It's about the people in the main promotion and someone who's with a McMahon. Yeah.
Triple H is the McMahons.
Yes. And it just... because NXT feel like they're not winning. I know you can argue that sometimes they're not losing, but they're not winning. And maybe you think, because they're going to win a few big ones at Survivor Series. I don't think they are.
And really, what do they gain if they do?
Hmm.
Because the way that WWE has always presented itself is that the main roster is the main goal. So if you win for NXT, does that just fast track you to either Raw or SmackDown, in which case you've gone to the losing team?
Yeah, I really don't know.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Anyway, before we get out of here, let's do the Patreon Pledge Hammer shout-outs for those $25 a month or more people. Thank you. Luke was on a train when he came up with this name, Derek Alea.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You're welcome.
Maximum effort.
The Alpha Kenny Body Slam.
Whoa. What a fantastic last name. Cult of Personality, Craig Thomas.
Yeah.
CM Punk return confirmed.
The Mayor of Painesville, Dan.
Yes, Dan. Ken, I'm not eligible to get a case of craft beer, De Leon.
Hey, look at this for a name. Badassosaurus Rex Joseph Calmarin.
Oh, Badassosaurus Rex.
That's his own one.
Andy Datson's number one fan, Tomo.
Tomo. We'll clap that. Yo, Adrian. Rocky.
Whoa. Leader of the boys, Dalton Sizemore.
Your episode with Dalton and we...
Were you gone? You weren't here
I wasn't
that.
Here for it.
It was the day
I left.
The day before.
But me and my wife listened to it on a podcast, in podcast form, while we were getting ready in Hong Kong. And it was brilliant throughout. My wife described it as like, this is a beautiful train wreck. I was like, I'm gutted I wasn't here for it.
I realised I was losing... I never had control. Very early, like within the opening.
Yeah.
I realized Dalton's going to do what Dalton's going to do.
Their burial of crap gimmicks was incredible.
And they got obsessed with Michael Plowman.
Yeah, which popped me massively. Yeah. I loved it. The Incredible Tarzo.
Whoa,
you take
well
the last
done.
One.
And spoken class today, Jeremy Smith.
The Pearl Jam.
Jam thing. Thank you all so much for your very generous Pledge Hammer support. Bear says Seth Rollins 2019 in about 4 seconds.
Yeah.
S-word Cena style promo. Don't forget to add Burn It Down at the end. Seth Rollins heavy match. Burying legit better wrestler and act. Best Beast Slayer merch and Tron.
Yeah.
So that's I think that went over 4 seconds.
Yeah.
I don't think Seth's burying anyone though.
No.
And yeah.
He's just not being presented like he's putting anyone over.
Mm. Rex Joseph Calmarin. Walter, stay away from Vince's WWE. Save him, Triple H.
Well, we need Smallman, really. We need Smallman to save him.
I thought, Walter is one of those guys that you just think, well, Vince is going to love him.
Yeah.
He's a foreigner and he's massive.
He's huge.
It fits perfectly for him to be built up and then lose to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. But they haven't even given him that hot start.
No. This, and like, we didn't really answer the question from the title of this video slash podcast, but this felt like such a waste of Walter.
And Imperium.
And Imperium as a whole, because it's such a good act. And they are so good together. The stuff they've been doing on NXT since they moved to the USA Network has been amazing. Absolutely amazing. And Walter has just great match after great match after great match. That Seth Rollins said in his promo, I think I'm the best wrestler in the world. And then I'm watching this and I'm like, your match that you've had here is nowhere near as good as the one I saw Walter have with Will Ospreay, who apparently you think you're better than.
Yeah.
I don't buy it anymore. It makes you sound even less credible.
Well, on that, the AdNap 2 continues. I was at WWE's live event in Glasgow last night. If the main event wasn't a cage match, I would have thrown my bank statements at Seth Rollins. Alex Mosquito Ramirez, I'm sorry, but I have to say it. This company really doesn't care anymore. And it seems like they are really just phoning it in.
Well, certainly for this. Because this is, you know, this is a 2-hour show, I'd imagine, taped after another 2-hour show. So this was just a filler show.
It was a 3-hour show.
No, I know, but because they didn't show all the live stuff, like all the backstage stuff, you can probably just film for 2 hours and fill the rest of it with backstage stuff and adverts.
So was this filmed in the same arena as SmackDown?
Directly afterwards.
God, no wonder the crowd were dead.
Do you know what's even amazing about that? On the SmackDown, where they're in the same building, they advertised that on Raw, it was going to be the Kabuki Warriors defending against Charlotte and Natalya. The show's happening directly after this.
Then we've got New Punk Rants. Yep, feel like a WWE invasion angle. 3 botched invasions in 20 years. NXT UK was buried. Poor Walter. The Lana stuff is literally Russo level. WTF, man.
It was a bit of a Russo angle, wasn't it?
Sterling Van. Walter lost twice in one night. I get there's technicalities, but is this really the price of him getting to cut a promo he didn't get to on SmackDown? Yeah.
Yeah, having him losing it twice in one night is ludicrous.
We'll just do a few more. Fritz XXI, TFK777. Does the Walter debut really matter? It was just to pop the UK crowd, and it's probably a once-off.
Well, it is just a one-off thing.
Mm.
But Walter's so good that you shouldn't just be... You shouldn't treat it as a once-off thing.
Totally.
A one-off thing, rather.
They did it with... I don't know why they do this in their heads. When Pete Dunne did it against Enzo Amore, 2 years ago... We're in the UK. Let's do this. It's a nice treat. I'm like, look, save these people. They're so talented. Save them for a proper push and a debut.
Yeah, completely.
Kevin didn't watch the show, and the only fact they wrote Walter in lowercase makes me kind of mad. I think this is the best way to celebrate Luke's return by saying...
This company.
Welcome back, Luke.
Thanks, mate.
And finally, Sterling Van. Imperium looks so weak on the show. What a shame.
Yeah, completely. That's exactly the word I used in my notes. a shame. Yeah.
So I've got something new to do.
Ooh, please tell.
Well, I put up a post on the community tab this morning. And of course, I had my Raw review. Just asking people...
It was out so quick.
What their thoughts were. And we've got... the ratings for what people thought.
Oh, please tell.
So, from my Raw review video,
mm-hmm.
We've got a 50% poor rating. So that's 2 out of 5.
Yep.
And then 30% says average and 14% say rawful.
Wow.
That's from 3,500 votes. So definitely weighted in the lower end.
Yeah.
Weirdly, though, I'm not sure how this works. On the community tab, with 6,500 votes... 48% average.
Okay. So the video audience feels differently.
22% poor, 20% rawful. So it's still the same bottom end.
Yeah.
But it's much more distributed to 3 out of 5, an average.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's because the video one, you do that after 5 minutes of me telling you why it wasn't good.
Oh, so your WWE, your anti-WWE bias is telling people
Tony
to...
Tony Khan. He's going to manage. It began with a Vic Joseph and Jerry Lawler on commentary. No Dio Madden
selling the injuries from Brock Lesnar.
I like that.
I like that as well. It also, it's a good reason to not buy him a plane ticket.
And Becky Lynch comes down to cut an in-ring promo. She talks about how she was trained right here in the UK. Was it specifically Manchester?
She did say, like, the man is in Manchester. I think she might have said that she... I think she just said, in general, I learned my trade within the UK.
Yeah. And she said she wants to be Becky Two Belts again by winning the Women's Tag Team Championships. Here's our partner, Charlotte Flair.
I feel like a stuck record with this one, but she is the most unlikable babyface in the history of wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, Seth Rollins.
No, I think Seth Rollins has got more redeeming, like, he's got more redeeming character as a babyface than Charlotte Flair does as a babyface.
Maybe it's because Charlotte just hasn't changed her character.
Yeah.
It feels like she's still working heel, but like a kind of badass heel. I just don't get it. So last week's Raw, after the Saudi Arabia stuff, Natalia, they had a video package about Natalia being one of the first women ever to wrestle in the country. Cuts back to the ring, and Charlotte is just going...
like a dick.
I'm like, you're meant to be... What are you? anyway, it's all over the place, but the Kabuki Warriors just get more awesome every week.
Oh, what a great act they've become. Now that they've ditched Paige, who really was an anchor, no pun intended, on that team... This is a breath of fresh air, and they've now like embraced this heel act. They've got really cool face paint on them now. They've got basically matching gear,
robes
and everything. Their entrance music mashup is still dreadful because it's two very, very different tempos that they are refusing to just give them new entrance music.
Let's give them Asuka's entrance music.
It's one of the
really good.
It's really good. The mashup is sucks.
But I really like this match.
Yeah, it's good.
I feel like that WWE, Raw in particular, are seeing the women's tag division as 2019's cruiserweight division. Start off a show hot with... Because the Kabuki Warriors are going to get good matches out of people.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And Becky and Charlotte are excellent.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm really enjoying this new opening division, really.
Yeah, if this is what we're getting, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I really like the Kabuki Warriors. Obviously, Becky and Charlotte are both fantastic wrestlers, so I'm all for it. And we made the joke a few weeks ago that they're going to start taking it seriously now because Becky and Charlotte are involved. But hey, good. Let's start treating these belts seriously. And I was really into this match. I really, really enjoyed it. The only spot I didn't like was Charlotte no-selling Kairi Sane's chops.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't mind that because I thought Charlotte looked really, really badass sometimes. Like when she powerbombed Sane, I believe, with out of an armbar. I thought she was good at getting worked over, but still showing fire, as opposed to just Roman Reigns, where he goes limp for 10 minutes.
Yeah. I think the only reason I didn't like that spot is because it came directly after her doing this really half-assed tag in to be like, all right, tag me in so I can beat these people up, because she is the worst babyface in the history of this sport.
Becky, however, is an excellent babyface.
She's amazing at being a babyface, and her babyface fiery comeback was awesome.
Yeah, it was really good, and she's sort of on top, but then Shayna Baszler, who had come out through the crowd earlier, hops up on the apron. Becky gets into it with her. Asuka rolls her up. Asuka wins. So hopefully that's still building towards an Asuka Lynch match, which really should have happened a lot sooner after the Royal Rumble win that Asuka has over Becky.
Well, she had to beat up Lacey Evans for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's far more important. And then Bayley attacks Baszler. Baszler runs off through the crowd. Becky shouts at her. Bayley attacks Becky.
So from what I can gather, this storyline really feels like it is Becky versus Baszler, and Bayley is not really getting much of a shout out in this.
Yeah, that's kind of... But I don't mind that, because that dynamic will play into the match, I hope.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that Bayley can use this to add fuel to that, being like, and everyone's overlooking me in this match,
yes,
which has been the story of my whole career, and use that as fuel for the match itself. That's what I'm hoping for.
After that, we get Ricochet and Randy mid-conversation backstage, which is so weird because they're feuding.
I've written here, is Randy Orton a babyface now?
They're just chatting, but like having a kind of heated debate over Randy, who keeps on hitting his finishing move on Ricochet.
Yeah.
Just a weird way to stage this. This is all a setup for the OC to challenge Humberto Carrillo and Ricochet. And then, like, well, you need a third man. And Randy Orton pops in from, Well, just over there, actually.
Exactly, yeah. So yeah, he's a babyface. He's just a babyface now, I guess.
There's shades of grey.
I really like the stuff with him and Ricochet in that main event.
I agree.
Loved that.
Then we got Drew McIntyre versus Sin Cara.
So I discovered through the podcast intro that we recorded prior to this that Sin Cara's had a hashtag 3-week push.
I was trying to explain, like, all the stuff. Saudi Arabia, AEW Full Gear. I said, Luke, the weirdest thing that happened when you were away was that Sin Cara had a lady door for 2 weeks. And now she's just disappeared.
Or did she just not get a plane ticket either?
I think they've dropped it. I think it was purely for his 2-week program against Andrade. And you can't just face Andrade. You must have a female with you to face Zelina Vega.
And correct me if I'm wrong on this as well. The story was Andrade beat Sin Cara because of Zelina Vega interference.
Yes.
So then Sin Cara got Lady Door. And that led to Andrade beating Sin Cara.
Yes.
And then they had a mixed tag match. Now Sin Cara's got Lady Door to take out Zelina Vega, and Andrade and Zelina Vega won.
Yes. Vega pinned Lady Door.
He's an ineffective babyface, and she is very ineffective help.
The problem, like the real down thing about this, is that Sin Cara is really good.
Yeah, he is.
He, in all of those matches, and this match here, because he was given a bit at the start. I thought this was just Drew was just going to run through him. But he was given about 2 minutes of offense. I thought Sin Cara looked great. You know, like, he is a legit tough guy. He's got something about him. And WWE need Mexican stars. So it's...
Hey, they got Humberto now.
It's frustrating. But this match, for what it was, I thought Drew looked fantastic. That powerbomb. He catches Sin Cara's Hurricanrana outside, and he just catches that into a powerbomb on the floor.
Yeah.
Looked brutal. Claymore inside for the win.
Yeah.
So this was taped, obviously, on Friday, shortly before Raw went on air last night. Sin Cara just tweeted asking for his release.
Yep.
That does not work. Why do people keep doing it? Yeah. Ty Dillinger. And then they said, okay, no more. But Luke Harper did it.
Yep.
Now Sin Cara's done it. Mike Kanellis did it.
Yeah. But everything's fine.
It's hard to feel a lot of sympathy because he re-signed earlier this year. And you got
Sin Cara did?
Yeah. So, more on that on the news.
Said Mike Kanellis.
Yeah. And the OC. So, go over to Laurie's News after this video, and it has all the details there. Including Andrade making fun of it, and because, you know, he's a heel.
Okay.
But Grand Metalik saying, we support you, brother.
Mm.
I think it's Grand Metalik. Then, oh my God.
Despite all his rage, Rowan's got a pet in a cage.
So it's a shot with a gauze, a net over the camera, a point of view shot, which raises so many questions anyway about the universe that WWE inhabits and the rules and laws behind what is filmed and what isn't. But take that, put that to one side. It's a POV shot from inside a cage, and it's Rowan's face looking at it going, you better wake up.
I'm so happy to see you here. You look so cute inside there. Bear in mind, he's talking. If you haven't seen it, he is talking to a camera, but we're supposed to know that it's actually a new pet. I really hope it's revealed to be the fluffiest of fluffy kittens. And that's his new thing, is that he is this big, horrible monster beast. But when he sees the little fluffy kitten, he realizes the error of his ways and realizes that actually there's a lot of love to be had in this world, like my little fluffy kitten here.
Walter is a disappointing, frustrating thing to happen on this show, but this might actually be the most annoying. Just because SmackDown spent all summer in this stupid storyline that was sometimes intriguing, sometimes made no sense.
Remember his twin brother?
And was often very funny, but really was awful at the end of the day. But you did somehow, amidst all of that rubbishness, you genuinely created a new main event heel.
Yep.
And it was Rowan. And that's the last person I would have thought. And I was so happy for him. And he's moved to Raw. And last week he gets beaten by Seth Rollins. Or maybe it was the week before. And now he's got this. Why would you revamp this gimmick? It was working. Why has he now got a... What? Who looks at Rowan's character from SmackDown and goes, you need a pet?
Yeah, a fluffy kitten. Remember when Dustin was in TNA and he had a pet rat that he would bring down to the ring? That's what I... When he was Black Rain.
Mm.
This is what I thought of. When Tara, in TNA again, had the spider.
I actually quite like the spider.
Yeah?
Yeah. I thought that was creepy.
I thought it was just Vince Russo. It was just like, I've got to give all the heels... Yeah. The weird heel... Like, all the weird heels have got to have a pet.
So after this, we got a WWE backstage plug, which is their Tuesday FS1 studio show. Mick Foley's going to be on it.
I heard it did really well.
Well, that's why I bring this up, because I just wanted to see if you knew that the debut episode did 49,000 viewers.
That's, yeah.
We get more than that. They are on one of the biggest sports networks in America.
Yeah.
R-Truth then took on the Singh brothers for the 24/7 title, one of the rare actual in-ring defenses, but didn't count for anything. They quickly ran backstage, briefly went into the women's locker room, and then they ran into another room where Rowan was without the pet thing.
Well, unless the pet is a sofa.
And threw a sofa at them. And R-Truth,
couch for our American viewers.
Yeah, and R-Truth walked in and declined to pin anyone because he was too scared and just turned the light off. This wasn't funny.
Nope.
And, well, but Rowan throwing a sofa was funny. It wasn't, overall though, it wasn't funny. And it just, it saddened me to see Rowan for a second time in the 24/7 title mix.
I was so worried he was going to pin one of them.
Mm.
I was really worried that he was going to pin one of them.
Yeah. Then we got the Seth Rollins Walter stuff. Then another WWE backstage promo.
Mm-hmm.
Needs all the help it can get.
Yeah, my note here says, like, clearly it's doing well.
Yeah. Then Cedric Alexander took on Andrade.
I've got three notes here. Vega distracts. Andrade hits the DDT for the win. Yeah. Decent action.
Yeah. There was a really... Cedric did a handspring off the ropes as he normally does. Andrade, honestly, perfectly timed running dropkick to his face. Just beautiful. Beautiful. There's no story here, though. How many weeks can you go without story? I know you were getting frustrated before Saudi Arabia, just being like, Raw has no stories. And I'm like, hey, Luke, calm down. They're building characters with a new roster. Now I'm with you.
Okay, cool.
Now I'm annoyed.
Did you see Cedric's interview? I only picked this up because I was going to be part of my news yesterday, but I did it all on AEW instead because Tony Khan pays the checks. You got to plug them somehow.
Yeah, that's why we've got to criticize their paper.
But did you see Cedric's interview about the AJ burying him room
Ooh,
report?
No, I didn't.
Where he goes, how could I possibly be buried when I'm wrestling AJ Styles? And he basically said in so many words, that storyline and that feud gave me so much and it made me look amazing. And I'm like, mate, watch those matches back because you do not look good in any of them because you do just get buried throughout.
He's toeing the company line, I believe. Aleister Black.
Speaking of, how are we in November and he is still cutting the same goddamn promo that he's been cutting since April? How is that even possible?
So Dave Meltzer said he's got a knee injury.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I love that shit.
Yes. Even so, just take him off TV.
I know, yes. I know, I agree. I was the same as you, but then Dave Meltzer said on today's Wrestling Observer Radio that that's why it is.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, okay, well, that can't really argue, but...
That makes more sense, but...
It is so repetitive and lazy. I know you want to keep faces on TV so people don't forget about them, but sometimes I think taking them off completely would be more beneficial.
And actually, in fairness to it as well, that granted, he might be injured currently, but you should have ended this storyline 4 months ago.
Like, what storyline?
The story, he wants a fight. He wants someone to knock on his door. This promo, honestly, could have aired in April, and we wouldn't have known. We wouldn't have remembered. This is a retape of something. It's a replay.
We should do that. We should do a segment where I play you Aleister Black promos, and you've got to guess where, what month. You've just got to tell me what month
and what show it was on. Yeah.
Okay, but now we do have a story.
Yeah. Veterans.
We got the Veterans Day video package.
Which is lovely.
And then
no Randy Orton in it.
And then we got Lana and Rusev and Bobby Lashley.
To throw some praise at this, Lana did give it her all.
Yes.
Credit to Lana. This is an S sandwich that she is doing her best with. And I thought that she just threw herself into this promo and was doing her darndest to make it work.
Totally agree. I think
credit to her.
Yeah, I think her delivery was excellent.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's got acting experience.
Yep.
It really genuinely
and that really
good.
Helped. Mm. It really helped. Rusev looks like he's given up. And I feel so sorry for him. And, but, as my Steve here, glass half empty, glass half full thing, I thought Lana did some very good promo work.
I totally agree.
But the content was crap, but she did some very good promo work.
She had like 4 or 5 minutes uninterrupted dialogue. Like just boom, boom, boom.
I've got
it was all
so
really good.
Many notes.
Oh, no.
Like, I've got like a paragraph and a half of like everything that she covered in this because she talked for a long time.
And it was all engaging.
Yeah.
Like you said, the content was rubbish. This storyline is rubbish. I actually turned a corner on it.
Really?
Two weeks ago.
What happened?
It was when Rusev... what was it that happened? It was when Bobby Lashley... Rusev stuck his own finger in Bobby Lashley's mouth.
Sexy. Oh,
I can't remember. Anyway, I was like, you know what? This is what it is. It's happening. I'm just going to enjoy it for this stupidity that it is. Unfortunately, this week it got me back on the, I hate this.
Now. Yeah.
So what happened was Lana said a bunch of stuff and she essentially admitted to starting her sexual relationship with Bobby Lashley 7 weeks ago.
It's their sexiversary.
And
that'll get stigmatized again.
7 weeks? That's not an adversary of any kind.
No, not at all. But she just had to find a way to say that. And she said sex a lot. This was a Paul Heyman written promo.
And then she talked about getting knocked over last week in the angle and how she went to the doctor and the doctor said, your arms are fine, your back's fine, your legs are very,
very fine,
which was a good line. And then she said, but I'm also 9 weeks pregnant, which wasn't like that was a good dialogue reveal, I thought.
Yeah. They're very, very nice, yeah. Hmm. And then she said, Manchester is working class, so I need to explain this for you because you're all a bit thick. Good local heel heat. She says that Rusev has put a monster inside of her. And I've written here, we've just had the storyline with Mike Kanellis.
I know, yeah. A Matchka brat, she said. Yeah, it's well, we've had with the cucking as well and everything.
Yeah.
And weirdly, it was Rusev who came back with Maria.
Oh my God, that's right!
Did
she pass on the storyline? Like, was it bring it back and like, and I now bequeath you this storyline. Take it in my steed.
It could be that, or more likely, I think some scripts just got mixed up. I think someone just picked up the wrong script and they were just like, well, now we've got to run with it.
Yeah.
So Rusev then comes down and he just stands there smiling. Like you said, he's given up. But that's almost more entertaining because his I give no F's attitude is quite is a very endearing ring presence.
The other question I had, if you could possibly fill me in, is did we know that Rusev cheated on her first?
Well, Lana believes that's the case.
Okay. Do we know with who or is it just he cheated?
No. So, but Bobby told Lana that Rusev had cheated on her.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay. I'm with you now.
But really, Lana's whole shtick is that she just lies.
Yeah.
So okay. Who knows? And Rusev comes down. Lana calls him a sex addict again. There was a funny line about him wanting to have sex on the tank for his WrestleMania entrance.
I mean, you would, though, wouldn't you?
Yes. And then Lana just jumps on him, starts slapping him, and Bobby Lashley comes down and beats up Rusev as well. And then Lana and Bobby walk off, and Lana says, as they're walking up the ramp, not on a mic, just into the camera, I cannot believe he thought I was pregnant. So it was all a waste of time.
A complete waste of time.
I before that line, I was like, well, at least this is an interesting wrinkle to the storyline. But then they just said, oh, yeah, psych.
Yeah. this changes nothing leading into next week's show.
I'm just like, oh, I feel dumber. I feel like actually less intelligent from watching this.
And because it was the longest segment on the show.
Yeah.
That wasn't like, that. You know, you could argue that the Seth Rollins Walter stuff is the longest segment, but that had two matches in there. This was the longest segment to not lead to a match. And it was for nothing. And like nothing was furthered.
Yeah.
It was a colossal waste of time. It was a lot of, it was filler on what was already a filler based show.
Totally. Do you want to take us through what happened next while I get up some funny replies from people?
Well, Eric Rowan walking backstage with his cat carrier. Smoking is bad, folks. WWE told you so. And then Eric Rowan beat Sonna Dursun. He put the cat carrier on the commentary table. And I did actually like how Vic Joseph sold it, which was like he could hear on commentary going like, can you budge up a little bit? I want to move further away from this. I thought that was nice. We actually saw Sonna Dursun wrestle last month. We saw him at WrestleGate.
Did we? I thought he looked familiar.
Yeah, he was one of the people. He's advanced into the final four for their secondary title.
Ah, wicked.
But anyway, he didn't win here. Rowan did. You know, and then we got a promo for Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster, who I was under the impression were still the NXT UK tag champs.
I said it in my review. I said it in my review. I just assumed they were the NXT UK champs. It's not. It's Gallus.
When they came out without the belts, I was like, oh, I guess they don't have the belts anymore.
Do you know how many people have corrected me out of 500 comments?
I'm going to say at most two.
Two.
Oh, nailed it.
So... who cares? I asked people, what do you think is in Eric Rowan's pet carrier? We've got from Sarabha Sharma, Harper's contract.
Oh, that's good.
That's
a
good one. From Rishi Ravi Kumar, an eco-friendly $1 million championship.
That one less.
I don't like that one. And I can't. So everyone just saying how bad the show was. So after the Rowan,
well, we got the Viking Raiders versus Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster. Where's our, let's have Flash up because we've got him back here.
I was really quite, what's the word? Not proud, but happy. I was very happy to see Flash Morgan Webster
completely
on Raw
after the comeback that he had on his career-ending injury. That he essentially got.
Yeah, I was watching him before he was cool, and now to see him there made me tremendously happy. So well done, both of you. And Mark Andrews, has Mark Andrews been on Raw before?
He might have been on a previous tour. He's definitely done 205 Live.
Yeah, yeah.
So they might have taped that, like, you know, in and around.
But weirdly, this NXT, obviously it was NXT UK, and they're not the tag team champions. But the way they did the video package to introduce them, which was a great video package. And then they had the match with the Viking Raiders that went all of 4 minutes, and they got a bit of offense in, but at the end of the day, it was a Raiders squash. It didn't feel like it was part of the NXT versus main roster Survivor Series theme at all.
No.
So it felt really weird to have this match with everything else going on and the context there.
You could possibly argue that it was, though, because Viking Raiders are going to be taking on Undisputed Era at Survivor Series. So you could argue them beating the former NXT UK tag champs is a way to push that match.
But they didn't.
Well, them.
Yeah, well, I mean, they didn't really...
No, I'm Pritchard-ing it.
Being a Pritchard. They just got beaten in minutes.
Well, there was a moment when, because Andrews hit Stundog Millionaire and then Webster did sort of like a senton. Either one of the Viking Raiders kicked out. And I wrote in my notes, for a near fall. And then I thought, it was nowhere near a near fall. So I delete that and wrote, for a two count.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Sometimes you just write near fall whenever you see a two, don't you? After that, Ricochet tells Orton, don't you go RKOing me later. I know we're tagging.
But Randy essentially said, like, the worst thing you can do right now is let me live inside your head.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we got a Rey Mysterio Brock Lesnar recap. Neither
so
on the show.
They are having a WWE Championship match.
Yeah.
Which is very exciting for them. Does that mean we're getting an NXT Championship match? with Adam Cole, baby, and
against the Fiend. I don't know.
What's the Fiend up to?
No idea yet. Yeah, we don't know. He's facing The Miz at Starrcade. Starrcade.
The Miz.
But it's not televised. Hopefully they don't go down that route. But then the main event was Orton, Ricochet, and Carrillo.
Before we get to that, they did announce some new stuff for Survivor Series. They announced that AJ Styles versus Roderick Strong versus Shinsuke Nakamura, which that sounds incredible.
Have you heard the joke?
Oh, yeah, that he will be the King of Strong Style. Very, very good if Nakamura wins. But that match on paper sounds fantastic. And we're also going to get Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT Women's 5-on-5. They also announced, they didn't announce who it's going to be. And Team Raw is going to be Ricochet, Randy Orton, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, and Drew McIntyre. Why is Drew part of the team?
Yeah, I've got no idea.
Yeah.
But why would you pick him? Like, who is picking the teams? I know they got rid of authority figures, but then you've got to have someone going around canvassing for support.
Why is Drew defending the honor of Monday Night Raw and working with Seth Rollins?
Yeah, no idea. Anyway, who's the lineup? Is Carrillo not in it?
No. It's Ricochet, Randy Orton, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, who I earlier in the show said was not part of the team. I actually already forgot that he was part of the team, and Drew McIntyre.
Well, Orton, this is the whole main event was built around Orton and Ricochet having to coexist, presumably setting up some sort of tension for that Team Raw at Survivor Series. But again, it raises questions of who's picking the teams then. And I actually quite enjoyed this match. I really enjoyed Randy's stuff on the apron, the way he would react to Ricochet's sort of mistakes.
I liked him going to tag in Ricochet, like putting the hand up and then just tagging Carrillo in instead. I thought it was some really nice stuff from Randy.
Also, Ricochet's entrance was hilarious.
It was done by Rob Van Dam, I think.
It was just...
It's him and Sabu at the back.
That's the smoke that the Street Profits are always looking for. We didn't also mention...
Oh, yeah, the Street Profit. Montez Ford's Ultimate Warrior-style freakout.
He went on for 20 seconds there. Yeah. It was amazing.
Do you know what I... And he is a genius at this as well. And I felt so bad for him. He was looking for someone to film that. One of the camera crew to film it. So it's just him in frame doing that. That's why he was doing it for so long. Because it can be gift. And despite the fact this was a taped show, they didn't do that shot. Which means it's not gif-able anymore.
I gift it on the community.
It's not as gif-able.
Yeah, you're right. That is a man that understands the internet, though.
He is indeed.
Do you remember the kissing the baby's head?
Yep.
Like, it's just...
But that's why he does these things, because he can be turned into GIFs. Like, his whole entrance is GIFable. And so he does these things to create some online presence. And in this instance, WWE didn't do it.
No. He's really smart.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole structure of the match was that Ricochet and Orton were going to implode. Carrillo kept being the peacemaker.
Do you know what? My other spot I really enjoyed on that note of that storyline was that at one point, Ricochet could have tagged Randy Orton. Like, he even rolled towards him, but didn't tag him because he's like, no, I'm going to do this. Yeah. I don't want to tag you. And then walked into a Carl Anderson spinebuster.
Oh, that, which was awesome.
Which is an awesome spinebuster. Yeah. But in the storyline, that makes it even better is that he should have tagged out at that point, but he didn't want to tag to Randy. I really, really like some of the spots in this.
This all climaxed after Carrillo did a moonsault outside with Orton left in the ring with a down AJ and a down Ricochet. Orton's the legal man. Ricochet's getting up to his feet. Orton's behind him. Everyone's thinking, here's an RKO. But AJ Styles is also up, goes over to Orton, RKO on AJ.
But even more brilliant than that, he turns Ricochet around to RKO him and then RKOs AJ. So effectively, Randy said, I could have done it to you.
Yeah.
But I'm doing it to this guy instead. And I wanted you to see that.
And then on top of that, he tags in Carrillo, so Carrillo hits this beautiful moonsault onto AJ to win. So Carrillo got a win over AJ in the end. it's really...
I'm guessing he's not been doing that a lot.
No. Oh. No, he was beaten for 3 times in 7 days by AJ Styles. He was made to tap, and he was pinned twice.
I knew he lost to Sammy Reagan. Yeah. Bloody hell, that's quite a run.
Yeah, really, really went down fast. I really like the Ricochet Orton stuff.
Yeah, I'm really digging it. I think it's great.
So overall, I gave it a 2 out of 5.
But yes, overall, I agree with that. I think it was a poor show. I'm in agreement with the video audience.
Virgil McClements super chats in. The best thing to do if you were in the Shield is to leave WWE. That's the world we live in now.
Oh.
Yeah, so Seth and Roman have sort of suffered the same fate. Whereas
Jan.
Lord James, Seth should have faced an other member of Imperium.
Yep.
I think that's a good idea. New Punk rants again. Also, it's official. Seth is a black hole for cool wrestlers. Balor, Bray, Walter, who's to blame? Something has to change, right? Wastebasket emoji. So, it's difficult. Seth...
he's not making these decisions. It's the whole... people like, Roman Reigns is killing this company. It's like, Roman's not booking the shows. Seth isn't booking himself to win all the time or to get these DQ wins. It's the company that are doing this. It's the people in charge. Seth isn't at fault here. And that's one of the things that really bugs me about the whole Seth Rollins isn't cool and his terrible Twitter game, is that he's taking all of it personally.
Yes.
As if we're all having a go at him, but we're not. We're having a go at the company for it, but he's taking it all personally.
Yeah. Jobber JJ 496, NXT invasion sucks. Top guys are just bodies. Geeks.
Well, the UK invasion certainly sucked.
Drew every day. Of course they don't shine Walter. He's only a generational talent that would get over in any era. Poor form, WWE, poor form.
Indeed.
I love the phrasing of
that's
that.
That's so good.
And New Punk rants. I don't know about anyone else, but when Seth said he was the best, I had to rewatch Omega versus Okada, all four. And can we talk about how botched the invasion is? It's not what I would have done.
No, and I'm not sure we can say that the invasion is botched
just yet.
Like, let's wait until it's all over and then we can, you know, we can go back and pinpoint where it all fell apart. But hey, it may pick up. Like, this isn't dead in the water. The original invasion, you know, 20 years ago, was not dead in the water. It didn't. It started off badly, but there was still something to be there. Invasion itself is still the single greatest non-WrestleMania or non-Big Four pay-per-view that they've ever done. There was, even without WCW top names, they still managed to pull in an audience.
Well, when you say greatest, you mean money making?
Yes.
Yeah. It just sounded like it's an awful show.
Oh, it's dreadful. That Raven William Regal match is horrendously bad.
Hot tag to you.
Ah, thank you. On the subject of Sin Cara, Tim answered, Sin Cara is so bad, he botched his own release.
It's a different Sin Cara, but I appreciate the joke.
And Sterling Van said, Sin Cara moved on from Andrade and now he's requested his release. I don't really know how to feel about that.
Frustrated and sad. Yes, I think is good.
On the subject of the Kabuki Warriors, Marcus Roman said, so is Kairi not a pirate girl anymore?
She's got a little parasol. A little Japanese umbrella.
Yeah, and her music certainly suggests that she's still Pirate Princess.
Maybe it's support for the Hong Kong protest. Umbrellas were a feature of that one.
Well, if this was, you know, if Blizzard were in charge, she would have been suspended. Kyosei, wish the Kabuki Warriors could win without Green Mist or a roll-up just once.
I don't mind it because they are heels and everyone's cheering them and they've got to get their heat somehow. But I think the Green Mist is stupid.
I'll do this next subject and then I'll hot tag to you. And the subject of Rowan's box. So for the chat suggestions, we've had Mercy the Buzzard, Bird Raptor, Bird Rambling, Raptors, Rambling Rabbit, Rowan's twin.
Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah. Fiend's headlamp and Mae Young's baby hand. Well, the hand is now grown up. We saw that at Raw. It was Raw 1000. Mm. It's now an adult. And Sean Turner said, there's a string in the box with a secret compartment that contains an embarrassing picture of Bray Wyatt at the Christmas party. Ha 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 ha. Maybe it's like the Vince McMahon lockbox.
We'll never find out.
And then E. Ace said, it's simple. Liv Morgan is in Rowan's cage.
That's where she is.
Yeah, that revamped character that we've been promised for months now.
I must shout out, someone also said Gwyneth Paltrow's head. Which is a spoiler.
For Fight Club.
On... God, the heat I got for that.
It's still one of my favourite WrestleTalk moments of all time. It's people not understanding your joke.
Someone very intelligent rang me and said, did you not... you know you got the film wrong. I said, Give me the benefit of the doubt.
It's so good.
Lana, Rusev and Bobby. Oh, KJ says, I'd rather have Rikishi run me over with a car than to watch Rusev's storyline. By the way, the 20th anniversary of Survivor Series 99 is this Thursday.
Mm. That was Big Show's WWF Championship win, which wasn't meant to be the case. He was inserted into it because of Austin, and Austin got run down.
Kay Amal, Lana has been in numerous cheating angles involving mid-carders like Dolph Ziggler, Aiden English, and now Lashley.
Aiden English, that was all Aiden faking it.
Do Rusev and Lana have a mid-cuck vortex?
Mid-cuck vortex, mate. That's good.
Great punnage. Power Packers 90. All 2000 WCW is better than the Lana love triangle.
Don't buy it.
I don't agree with that either.
Yeah.
I've also seen a lot of people saying 2001 WCW equals 2019 WWE.
That was when it was on the ascent.
Yeah, yeah.
It
2001
was
WCW was, there was a brief period
there.
It was
alright. Yeah.
Jobber JJ 496. Watching lots of WCW 2000. Lana segment fits right in.
I mean, it is... It's probably as bad as the Stacey Keibler-Daphne love triangle with David Arquette, which were, and it, you know, led to the wedding dress match, which was shockingly bad.
Daniel Brotherton, yeah. Have you seen Rusev's interview about his storyline?
I've not, no.
I've seen his comments about Saudi Arabia, how he said he'll go back.
Really?
Yeah, because he makes so much money.
Yeah.
Shall I hot tag to you for Survivor Series?
Oh, okay. Antonio Q says, it just dawned on me. Will we be seeing an 8-man commentary booth at Survivor Series? Well, they did announce that we're getting all the commentary teams there. So, including Renee Young, who apparently is still part of the SmackDown commentary team.
Byron Saxton? I might start up...
Where is Byron?
Well, I might start up the who really is Byron Saxton again, but... Where really is Byron
Saxton? That's good. Do you miss Byron, actually? William Bo Jaud says, Fiend versus Bryan is going to be so good. Rollins will be exposed. Crowd cheers will be added all over the show, even on Survivor Series matches announcements.
Yeah, I can't wait for Fiend versus Bryan if that is the direction they're going.
That's great. Yeah. King CJ says, NXT DX versus WWE main roster. Yeah, it's so from what I've seen thus far, of this NXT invasion and sort of going back and watching clips and stuff, I don't like that it's Triple H and Shawn Michaels leading this charge. It really irks me because it becomes about them and it's not about the actual the guys and girls themselves. So that's my only criticism I have against this, other than the fact that I've not been given a storyline reason as to why Matt Riddle and Keith Lee are just happy to stand inside the same ring as the Undisputed Era. But...
And they're not winning enough.
Yeah.
It's you.
Sorry, King CJ said, I'm sorry, I meant to say WWE McMahon.
Right, yes.
Japanese name says, wait, so it's NXT versus SmackDown versus Raw, so there will be 15 wrestlers out there for a 5-on-5-on-5 match. How exactly are they going to stand outside the ring?
They just three corners.
Yeah, three corners.
You can have 15 people around there, I think.
Totally, yeah.
I've never seen it, though, I don't think.
I remember when they did the, during the invasion, they did do WWF and WCW teaming together against ECW when ECW debuted that one night and then WCW turned on them, and that's when they announced the alliance. You know, a storyline that could have been done over 6 months, they did in the space of 6 minutes. Genuinely 6 minutes. ECW debuted and the match happened like a couple of segments later. So yeah, and that was a 10-on-10. So it looks like a big it's a packed old ring.
I'm gonna rattle through these miscellaneous. Someone pointed out that I've been saying
did you say
it
miscellaneous.
I've obviously been saying it wrong my entire life. Miscellaneous.
Miscellaneous.
Someone commented, "Is this just a UK thing? Because Luke and Laurie say miscellaneous, but Ollie says miscellaneous." No, it's an idiot thing. Mundee, did you hear them say at the end of the 8-man tag match, welcome to Monday Night Roll, Walter?
I did not.
No, I didn't. No. Also, why the F is Becky in a match for the tag belt that wasn't even her feud? WTF, WWE, take my money, AEW.
Excuse me, it's because Natty wasn't there.
Yeah, she had personal things that she couldn't be there for.
Mm.
But I feel like Asuka and Lynch is a feud that they've been building. So Brian Alvarez has been very angry about it.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not my hill. I'm not going to die on that hill. Nikolai Binsnath, Vince is finicky. Not the fans, Jerry Lawler. Jerry Lawler says, oh, yeah. When Seth Rollins comes out, Lawler says, finicky response from the fans.
Come on now.
What word is that? Nathan the Alpha Wolf fella. Huh. You really think so?
I'm going to say no.
Geeked Out Nation. Raw, SmackDown are so boring to watch. Episodes are so hard to get through. So glad we have NXT AEW. Makes it so I can miss Raw and SmackDown and still get my wrestle fix. Mm. Sterling Van. I finally understand when people say, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Time goes on, but they keep to the same principles. I guess that's just WWE as a company.
Indeed.
Sterling Van again. Drew McIntyre for Royal Rumble winner 2020.
Whoa, that would be a storyline. And Drew's not allowed storylines.
Nuno Lorio, you guys need to see NXT. They are doing a great job keeping continuity of their feuds. Triple H promo with NXT and SmackDown. Ciampa keeps staring at Goldie. So yeah, on that show, they really did make that make sense. But then like there have been other things where
there's been other shows.
It's fallen down. Sterling Van again. I can't stand Raw, which is why I watch it seated.
Because he can't stand it. Yeah.
Sterling Van again. Andrade did face someone new this week. I will give you this credit, WWE. Why you had AJ take a pinfall to Humberto when he's already been beaten by him 3 times is beyond me. Hashtag original boys.
The original boys.
Lovely time with the original boys. The AdNap 2. That sucks if Black got injured in a dark match.
It does suck if Black's got injured, yeah.
I don't know if it was in a dark match. Meltzer just said he's got a knee injury. Anwesh Mishra. Hope Carrillo joins the OC.
Hmm.
Oh, no, that's a... No, I wouldn't say that at all. Styles and Carrillo can have great chemistry like Jericho and Sammy.
No, I mean, it's not the right fit.
No. Cactus Gaming. Raw was very rawful, in my opinion. Vince really just buried their greatest superstars in NXT UK. This is just terrible writing in their home country.
Well, yeah, you know, you have to get buried in your... And it's not even their home country. He's Austrian.
Yeah. Daniel Brotherton. He said he has input... And it's the best story in years about Rusev and the cucking angle.
I don't buy that at all.
In that interview. Sparks, mark my word, Mysterio will beat Lesnar and Andrade will win the Royal Rumble. Rey versus Andrade for Universal title at Mania. WWE needs to do this.
I mean, never say never.
I admire your optimism.
Yeah.
Camama, Rowan's cage is where Alistair does his promos. Course. Kevin, remember the League of Nations versus the Wyatt family versus ECW Original versus Reigns' family in this 4-on-4-on-4-on-4 elimination match? Anything is possible.
Was there? No, what was the ECW Original?
Oh, I swear. You do the next stuff.
Okay. The WrestleTalk Miscellaneous. Josh Jostad said, I love Ollie Davis so much. I want him to be my brother. Thank you for keeping me sane at work with your consistently consistent content.
You know what this is in relation to?
The Cody thing, right?
I love Cody so much, and I've talked about it a lot. So people find it fun. I think it's in good spirits. Mm. So yeah, I've got it up here. It's... Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and the Usos against Team ECW, which is the Dudley Boys, Rhino, and Tommy Dreamer, versus the Wyatt family, including Braun Strowman, and the League of Nations, Rusev, Sheamus, Alberto Del Rio.
Bloody hell.
And who was the fourth?
Sorry, say again. It was Rusev, Alberto Del Rio.
Sheamus.
And
Cesaro.
Was it Cesaro?
You keep going, and I'll find out.
What a great team they were. Phoenix, Ollie, you are legit lovely to listen to.
Oh, thank you very much. Don't know why everyone's being so nice.
Because you're a good guy, man. EA says, welcome back, Luke. I hope to meet you all one day. Well, we hope to eat you, EA.
King Barrett.
Oh, of course. Barrett, yeah. Metal Bear says, welcome back, Luke. Hope you love Japan. I went a few years ago, and it's beyond amazing. It's so awesome. Me and my wife talked a lot about moving there.
Wow, really?
Just absolutely loved it. And just being like, a lot of times walking around being like, I could live here because it's so peaceful and calm, particularly in Kyoto. So peaceful and nice. And everyone's so lovely. And it's clean. And the subway system works. And it's really, really great. Giant420 Ginger said, welcome back, Luke. You were missed. Hashtag stoner support. Hey, man, I've got the stoners on my side. Nate Drop Surname said, great to have the WrestleTalk B team back together. The B, of course, stands for adequate and consistent.
I like that.
That's great.
I like it's A and C around the letter B.
Yeah. Supreeth Vivekanda says, welcome back, Luke. Great to see you and Ollie together again. You guys are the best. Love from Australia.
Swaft under.
Matthew Shield, and thank you very much for that. Matthew Shield says, is it possible to have SoCal Val in a video a week?
I mean, yeah, with maybe. She's very busy, you see, and we try and get her in when we can. Mm-hmm. But she, if you want to watch Le Mans, our review of the Ford versus Ferrari film, she did it with Laurie last Friday on ScreenStalker. It's very good.
Limps says, just watch the Raw review. Props to Ollie for squeezing his frustrations in about 4 minutes.
It was tough. It was a lot longer. I'd cut out 500 words.
They're harder to write.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. We'll probably be always better than seeing 3 hours of Vince anti-fan booking. Welcome back, Luke. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your casual fan. The boys are back in town.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-
Bill says, Laurie looks like Mark Andrews. Laurie's WWE. Well, they are ginger and they do have beards. Joe Ray says, hi guys, couple of questions. One, what's a cheeky Nando's? Two, going to be across the pond in a month or so. Best pubs to go to. Also, thanks for making me laugh.
Ooh.
Well, I mean, it depends on where. You said just to go across the pond in general.
Mm.
Like, I mean, I could recommend you some great pubs in Portsmouth, but they might be no good to you if you're going to Nottingham.
Yeah, you've got to think. He means London. Hey, go to Drafts.
Drafts, absolutely. Yeah. Go to Drafts.
Board game stuff.
And Cheeky Nando's is going to Nando's to have some food.
Yeah.
That is the extent of it.
And a name of a Will Ospreay move.
Yeah,
that's
and
not good.
If you're curious to what Nando's is, it's overpriced chicken. It's a pimped up KFC. King Rasta says, like using the GD swear now, I know it's real. Yeah, no, I should apologize for that as well, because I keep getting told off whenever I do it. And I feel bad whenever I do it.
God damn.
Yeah, I know. I did it in this review, and so I apologize for using that one. Kevin, remember WWE paid you to talk good on your reviews? I guess they didn't pay you enough to take all of AEW's money.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they outbid on that one. That's why AEW can afford Kane Velasquez.
Siddesh Mirajankar says, could you guys also do NXT reviews in about 4 minutes?
So this happened while Luke was away. No one watches the AEW and NXT in about 4 minutes reviews. And so we did the AEW one. And then people were like, why aren't you doing the NXT one? We're like, because we can't make that many videos in a day based on the space and people we have. So the best way to do it, the fairest way, so we're not like showing allegiance to NXT or AEW.
Those checks are going to start bouncing, man.
It's to do just a super news in the morning, recapping everything, if there's any big stories and just other news. And then an AEW WrestleTalk Live and an NXT WrestleTalk Live. And everyone gets it on the same day. And hopefully the most people possible are happy.
Mm. Erica Duran, Luke Owens' real number one fan. Thank you very much for your email this morning as well. It said, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Glad to have you back, Luke. Aww. Also, did you get my email about the gift to the whole team? I did, and I replied to it. And Cactus Gaming said, also, yesterday was also 1 year since I subbed.
To WrestleTalk. Thank you very much.
Do you want to take these last minute messages?
Yeah, just some last ones came in. Nate dropped surname. Lawler was just repeating Vince in his ear with Imperium. Who is this guy? Never seen him before.
Nice.
Totally. And Finickety. Finicky, whatever. I think that's Vince. Just
that's
saying.
A Vince word, yeah.
Walter Mercer. Which is worse, WCW Backstage Assault or WWE 2K20?
Based on what I've seen, 2K20. At least Backstage Assault more or less worked.
And Joe Ray, I'm going to Manchester.
Manchester.
So any recommendations?
I don't know Manchester that well, to be honest, in terms of pubs that I can recommend.
No.
I mean, I'm a Liverpool guy, so you know, I think Manchester's a hellhole. So I don't really know, unfortunately. Anything else you want to ask me about Japan?
Ooh, yeah. So who else did you offend? Did you start walking around the street doing karate moves, shouting, I know karate! I'm the best at karate! And someone said, no, you're not very good at karate. You're like, judo chop! And they're like, no, that's separate. Karate's separate from judo.
I'm so glad you tuned in to my Instagram feed that I was doing while I was out there.
Oh, you didn't stop those then?
No, I did actually stop them. I'm kidding. We did go to, have you ever heard of Robot Restaurant?
No.
Okay, so you're planning to go to Japan, right?
Yeah, but probably not next year now because it's the Olympics and the Paralympics.
Oh, of course.
So,
yeah.
And Studio Ghibli Land has been bumped to about 2022.
Okay,
so Miyazaki is a control freak.
So you're going to wait until the Ghibli stuff's
there,
right? Yeah,
until it opens, because it's such a big trip.
Well, we've actually got some Suica cards that we brought back. That's their travel cards. Because the other thing I wanted to say about Japan, their subway system is fan-frigging-tastic.
Yeah.
It's so good. There was one day where there was an alert. Google Maps is your friend, by the way. Get yourself a SIM when you go out there. Or like the hotel that we stayed at gave you a phone, so we were able to use Google Maps while we were out. And Google Maps is your friend because it tells you what trains you need to get around. But one of the alerts that we got was that there's severe delays on the line that you're looking to take.
Godzilla attack.
It was 2 minutes behind schedule.
What?
And that was...
Oh, my God.
That was a severe delay.
Severe delay in London or the southeast is... Yeah, just cancel everything this week. we're not.
You're not going
trains.
Anywhere, mate. You're not going anywhere.
There's some leaves on the track and a train somehow derailed. We're going to look into it.
Yeah.
But not until Thursday.
Because the leaves might have just got rid of themselves. And that's really what we're hoping for, is that the leaves sort themselves out. So we brought back the Suica cards as a gift to you and Anna.
Oh, thanks.
To use when you go out there, because then you don't have to put
Is there an expiry date?
I don't know. I don't know. So maybe we'll just keep them until you need them, and we'll just find out whether
you can frame them.
Yeah. Well, we put them in our little travel box of little goodies.
What did you say? So you were going to go and see some wrestling.
We were at one point going to go to a New Japan show, but it was in Osaka, and it wasn't as easy to get to as I'd initially hoped. And so in the end, we didn't go to it. It was on the day we were going to Kyoto as well. So it was just a bit, we'd already booked our Shinkansen train tickets to get to Kyoto.
What Japanese lingo did you pick up? Swear words.
Not
I want swear words.
Not much.
Like a school kid.
Not much. Oh, that's the other story I wanted to tell you, actually, while we were in Tokyo. So we went back to our hotel.
You've got a minute.
We went back to our hotel and we decided we're going to go out and get dinner. So I was Googling places to go to, and I found this place that was really recommended to get soba noodles. So I was like, let's go to this place here. It looks awesome on the inside. It looks really, really great. Let's go here. So I used Google Maps and I got us to this place. And it was... I could already tell that my wife was getting social anxiety about the whole thing, because it felt like we did not belong in this area. It felt like a very local area.
Mm.
And so I then slid the door open and I stepped through, and it was this sort of like very traditionally laid out Japanese restaurant. And there was one other person in there, and it was an old Japanese businessman. And he sat there and he turned around and he looked at us, turned back and went, "Ha!" And then, through his laughter, called out to the guy at the back to let him know, I'm going to assume, there's some white folk here.
There's some Gaijins here.
There's some Gaijins here who want some of your food. And this guy, bless his heart, didn't speak a lick of English.
How dare he?
But he did have some English translations on his menu, so we were able to just sort of point and connect the dots and everything like that. And he then brought out to me these soba noodles to eat. That you essentially just sort of have to make your own broth with soy sauce and some miso and things like that. And he was explaining this all to me in Japanese, pointing to things. And then after a while, he just started laughing because he probably realized this is pointless.
Yeah.
Because you don't understand what I'm saying. I don't understand what you're saying. This situation's very funny.
All the while, you're just chopsticking around.
Yeah.
Offending everyone.
I've probably got some other tales
to tell, but we'll have to do a part two.
Indeed it is, because that
I also went to Amsterdam.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to ask you about that.
You funny stories.
Because you went to dick museums and things like that.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Anyway, so that's all we've got time for on this episode. Ollie and I will be back for the AEW review on Thursday. Laurie and Pete will be doing the NXT review also on Thursday. I believe they're back to being on Thursdays now. Laurie and Simon, where's Pete?
Pete does the super news now. We're trying out a new thing.
Okay, all right, okay. I've got a lot to catch up on then. That's all we've got time for. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.